All right. This being the 4th of July week coming up, I actually was contemplating on what kind of a message I was going to present. And it's not something that just dawned on me, but it's something I don't know that we really think about. And I'll tell you what kind of brought this to the forefront of my mind, not just because it's the 4th, but it was either yesterday or the other day. Yesterday was first day of July. So we were still in Pride Month. I still have trouble getting over the month part. You know, you have Memorial Day, you have Veterans Day, you have July 4th, and you have a whole month for Pride. Anyway, I'm still trying to get over that. But the fact is, I saw a TikTok video and this one girl celebrating Pride flag said, "What have you done for your flag?" And some brave and righteous veteran took their video and showed them just in their normal self, and then it showed the next clip in his uniform with all the medals. And he just said, you know, and he pointed to this. That's what he did for his flag. He served his country for his flag. Anyway, freedom, like Mike was saying this morning, is not free. It costs something, and it costs usually a very heavy price. So when we go into the scripture, it may not seem at first that this really has to do with what my message is about, but it is, truly. So we're going to jump right on into it here in just a second, but it all comes down to whose children are you? Believe it or not, we're all someone's children. And it may not be who you think it is, because some people who they considered themselves extremely religious and believing in God were wrong. And you'll see that in just a moment. But let's go ahead and jump in. So John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus started talking. And by the way, he had been teaching and other things, and a lot of people, the verse before this, it said a lot of people believed on him. And by the way, that phrase, believed on him, doesn't just mean he existed. Scripture tells us even the devil believes and trembles. So if you simply believe Jesus existed, you're right there on the same level as a devil. I don't want to be there. Okay, we want to go the next step higher and even above. So believing on Jesus means to put your faith in him, put your trust in him, acknowledging that he's the one who came to be the Messiah, the Christ. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. So Jesus is talking specifically to a group of people within his entire audience. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. That's who he's talking to right now. And he says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And what's interesting is that there's actually several scriptures, I think I came up with three right away, that if this, then you're my disciple. Jesus said in one place, he said, if you don't love him and hate your father and mother more than him. It's a strange play on words. You know God doesn't want us to hate people, right? The way it's translated in the King James, it's if you love your family more than Jesus, is what he's saying. If you don't hate your mother, father, than him, then you're not his disciple. In other words, we can't love what's here more than him. Does that make sense? That's how we are his disciple. We love him more than anything. Another place he said, if you don't bear your cross, you can't be my disciple. Back then, those words were very heavy. Basically, if you're not willing to go be executed, that's what a cross is, folks. It's an execution method. If you're not willing, even for that, you can't be his disciple. Think about that. goes back to what Mike was saying. People who are willing to stand up, even in the midst of what's going on today, look how brave and patriotic they are. I salute them, I praise them, and I thank God for them. But he says, if you don't bear your cross, you can't be his disciple. Another place, he said, this is how you know you're my disciple. It's because you have love toward one another. Guess what? The opposite is true. If you don't have love toward one another, you're not one of his. Can't be. It just don't go together. But anyway, I don't want to digress too much. But the fact is, he says, you're my disciple if you continue in my word. Verse 32 says this. And this is what gets kind of interesting in my book here. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you have to unpack that scripture in a ways, because he's still talking to the believers. Remember, he's talking to the Jews that believe on him. And he's basically saying, if you follow what I say, you're my disciple. And you shall know the truth. If we follow Jesus Christ as a believer, we will know the truth. And not only that, but the truth will set us free. But you have to ask yourself immediately, well, what's he talking about? Set us free from what? Are we slaves? Are we somehow under the oppressing will of a government? And in some ways we are. But set us free from what, Jesus? What are you talking about? But the point I want to stress right at this moment is the fact is that if you are a believer, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guess what? Pilate was not a believer, and look what he says. Let's go to the next verse here. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world. In other words, he admitted it. I'm a king. You said it. I'm admitted it. That I should bear witness to the truth. Here we go. Here's that truth thing again. And everyone that is of the truth, who's that? People who follow him, they shall know the truth. So everyone that is of the truth hears my voice, follows what he says. And this is how I know Pilate was an unbeliever. Next verse, verse 38. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. And he saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So Pilate was right before, actually heard the very words of the king of the universe and didn't know the truth. It escaped right by him and he missed it. Now, you know, we give Pilate a little credit because he says, I don't find any fault. He's not worthy of dying. That's not the same as believing who he was. And I think he kind of rubbed a little salt in the wound to the Jews when he hung up a sign above Jesus' cross. And he remember what it said? This is Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. And they hated that. They said, take it down. No, what I've written, I've written. I think he was just twisting the little thorn in their side. I don't think he believed on Jesus. So anyway, back to verse 32. Let's look at this. Because he said, ye shall know the truth. If you're a believer, and if you believe on Jesus Christ and you're continuing in his word, then the truth shall make you free. So now we know that this truth is very valuable. It's very special. It's something that not everybody's going to grasp. I mean, you understand that. You can sometimes talk to people until you're blue in the face, and they're just not going to get it. They don't understand what's all this fuss about following Jesus Christ. And trust me, there should be much more pressure and emphasis put on the coming of the Lord, because time is short, folks. I believe that with all my heart. I know preachers get up here and say this every Sunday, nearly. But I believe we are at the very edge of the last days to the coming of what we would refer to as a rapture. That's when all the believers, I believe, are going to be taken out. Scripture teaches us that we will be spared the wrath of God. I don't believe believers, the bride of Christ, will be tortured and killed and maimed all through the 7 years just so Christ can retrieve us then. Yes, there will be people saved during the tribulation, but they'll have to go through hell on earth and give their life in the process. I don't want to be there, folks. I hope you don't either. But the coming of the Lord is soon, very soon. So truth has value. And so the fact is, he said, it would set us free. Folks, that sounds so good to me. It sets us free. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I want to be free of right now. I want to be free of heartache. I want to be free of pain. Forgive me. I look around and I observe all of us in here. We're walking around like this nowadays. You know, everything hurts. Everything hurts. I hurt almost every morning. It's almost something that I expect. I remember Eddie telling a quick thing. He said he was in the kitchen with, I think it was one of his aunts. And she was sitting there washing dishes and whatnot. And all of a sudden she just stopped, raised her head and went, "Oh my gosh." And he goes, "What's wrong? What's wrong? I don't hurt. I don't feel anything." So she thought she must have been dead. She didn't have any pain. For that brief moment, no pain. I want to be free of seeing the inhumanity committed on people. I want to be free of reading and hearing about kids being trafficked into slavery or into the sex trade or into organs. I don't know if I've told you guys this, but when we talked about it during our Bible study of the beast system, a question you have to understand or ask yourself at least, we've heard that the southern border is wide open, right? We've even heard that there have been millions, not just thousands, millions coming across the border. But where are they going? Where are they going? Well, we know some of them. In fact, when they ship them to other places, how many? 50, 100, 200 at most. Where are all these millions of people going? And by the way, a lot of them are unaccompanied children. Think about this, and think about it hard. There are people out there. There's evidence, folks. It's not something that it's a conspiracy theory. There's evidence already that they're being transported to some secret place to harvest their organs. I want to be free of that. I don't want to hear any more stories about people being kidnapped and trafficked just for their organs. But it's happening today, folks. And I believe, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get political, but I believe our government is actually assisting that. There's so many kids coming across unaccompanied. But anyway, unbelievers who were listening to all of this conversation, they sort of understood what Jesus was talking about. Let's look at verse 33. Now we get a response from the unbelievers, okay? So we got to be able to dissect who's who. So in verse 33, they answered him, talking back to Jesus, "We be Abraham's seed." In other words, Abraham is our great, 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 so many greats grandfather, okay? He's our patriarch. And we were never in bondage to any man. Read that carefully. We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. So now they ask Jesus the question, well, how can you say, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now they're talking about in the physical sense. We are physically descendants of Abraham, and we've never been in bondage to anybody. Really? Well, Egypt comes to mind. We sing about it. Egypt was once my home, right? They were in bondage 400 years. How about Babylon? What was that? 70 years. They were in bondage. And that wasn't the only place. How about when they said these words? Rome was their oppressor. How in the world can they say we've never been in bondage to anybody? So the question should go back to them. Instead of asking Jesus, how sayest thou ye shall be made free? Because they thought they were free. I'm asking the question, how can they say they are free when they're not? They're already under the power and control of Rome. They're lying to themselves, folks. People do that all the time. So you have to understand this freedom, this thing about Jesus continuing in his word, and this freedom is a continuing process. Yes, it could occur once, I suppose, but I don't know about you, but it's something you have to fight daily for. You have to fight it daily. It's not really a one-time thing. It's a continuing process, because he even said it himself. If you continue in my word, where are you going to get his word? Folks, it's written down for us. It's God's love letter to us. It'd be a shame to say, I love Jesus Christ and never read his letter. That's kind of ironic. So anyway, let's go to verse 34. So now Jesus is sort of bringing it back down to their level, because so we got to understand what's going on here. Jesus is talking to believers and he's saying, look, you believe on me, continue in my word and you will be my disciple. And furthermore, if you continue in me, you will know the truth. And immediately the unbelieving Jews came up and said, wait a minute, we've never been in bondage. Lie. So how can you say we'll be made free? So now Jesus is bringing them down to the spiritual reality. This is now a change from being a physical descendant of Abraham to a spiritual reality of everyone. Because in verse 34, Jesus answered them and verily, verily. By the way, when you see that, it's for emphasis. It's almost like somebody says, look, I'm going to tell you something, and you better listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. All right, so we now have a topic twist here. We went from believing on Jesus, knowing the truth, not being in bondage, and now suddenly he's talking about sin. I kind of like that one episode when Barney Fife was in the audience and a preacher was up there preaching, and he had this real soft-spoken voice, and Barney was sitting there and his eyes were fluttering and he was kind of nodding off a little bit, and Andy noticed him, and after church service was over, Barney shook hands with the preacher, told him what a great message it was. So Andy, knowing what had happened, he asked Barney, he said, well, what was it about? Well, he preached against sin. That was kind of a safe bet, right? And Andy goes, well, what'd he say? Well, he's against it. Well, so am I. I'm against sin. And just so is Jesus. And Jesus brings it up right now. So here the discussion changes to now we're talking on a spiritual level. So you have to try to wrap this around. Trust me, it's difficult for me, because he starts off one way and now suddenly he's all about sin and he's against it. And the fact is, he says, look, if you commit it, the sin, you're a servant of sin. Now, that word servant, I don't mean to keep harping, but sometimes the translations is not the best. What is a servant? What do you think of when you think of the word servant? Do you think of a butler? I don't. Because the word means a slave. Literally, a slave. What is a slave? It can be almost likened to, and we all know the racial history background of the U.S., and by the way, not just the U.S., all over the world, but they always focus on just the U.S. But anyway, the slavery is basically when somebody owns you. But think of it this way, and Mike, you and several others here, you'll appreciate this. If you get drafted or you're enlisted in the military, do you have free will? No, not really. You get up when they tell you, you eat when they tell you, you march when they tell you, and you go to bed when they tell you. And it happens all over again the very next day. When you're drafted or you sign up in the military, you don't have free will. You're more than just a servant. You're essentially a slave. So when the Bible here mentions servant, you're a slave. So now it kind of makes sense. So if you're the kind of person who commits sin, you're a slave. You're in bondage. You're under the control of an influence outside you. That's what it means to be a servant of sin. And this is what Jesus wants to free us from. This is the good news, folks. He wants to free you from something you could never free yourself. And it's from this sin that's got all humanity in bondage. All humanity is a slave to sin. No free will. So let's go back to, or go to verse 34. John chapter 8, or 35, I'm sorry. This can be a little tricky. Because he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son, capitalized Son, which usually capitalized means the Son of God, Jesus Christ, abideth forever. Slaves had no legal status. They could be bought, they could be sold. Joseph was a slave. Remember when he was in the pit, his brothers sold him to, I think it was the Midianites. And they in turn went there and they sold Joseph again to Potiphar. All that time that Joseph spent, at least there in Egypt, was under somebody else's control. He was a slave. He had no free will. He had none of that. No ability to do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do. He was always told. But then Jesus says, well, the servant abideth not in the house forever. That means that they had no legal standing. They weren't part of the family. I do feel sorry for some people who are adopted because sometimes they just don't feel like they're really part of the family, even though they are. Legally, in every sense of the word, a person who is adopted is part of the family. And so Jesus is saying, look, if you're a slave, a servant, then you basically don't have any rights to staying in the family or in the household. That's what he's saying. A servant, a slave, abideth not in the house forever. They don't have rights. They don't have claim to do that. But then it says here, but the Son abideth forever. In many ways, Jesus is the Son of God, but he also represents all of the people who believe on him. If you believe on Jesus Christ, you're now part of a different family. And because of that, this adoption, this new transaction that has occurred between you and Jesus Christ, you have now reconciled yourself to God the Father. Guess what? You are now one with Jesus and you abide forever. Isn't that great news, folks? The fact is, it's not like you're going to be cast out. Jesus is saying here that if you are a slave to what? Sin. Okay? If you commit sin, you're a slave to it. And therefore, if you're a servant, you don't abide in the house forever. You're not part of the heavenly family. But if you come to Jesus, you're now part of the heavenly family and you will abide forever. I hope that makes sense. Because that's what he's telling us here. We now have a place. And the problem with the Jews who had talked to him before, they were under the misconception or false security that they had every right, because they were descendants from Abraham, that that was enough. That was plenty to be part of God's family. All you had to be was a descendant of Abraham. And Jesus is saying, no, no, that's not it. So verse 36. So now he's back on this setting you free topic again. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, remember, they had argued with Jesus, well, how can you say we need to be free when we've never been under bondage, which was a lie. So now Jesus continues, if the Son, therefore, notice it's not anybody else. It's a very, I know people say, you Christians, y'all have a narrow way of thinking. Yeah. Guilty. I have a narrow way of thinking. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Didn't mention anyone else, and you might say, well, the Bible is just one way to the Father. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, we're here to proclaim the gospel to all the world. And so Jesus is the only way. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Free from what? Sin. Sin. Free from sin. You see, sin has a destination. It has a price. What's that price? Next verse from Romans. Paul said this, for the wages, in other words, your pay, payday is coming for those who refuse to turn their life around. Payday for is the wages of sin is death. But there's an alternative, folks. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's that abiding forever part. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other way. I'm sorry. I am narrow-minded when it comes to this. Because I wouldn't want to preach to you any other false doctrine and lead you astray. So I have to tell you what I believe in all my heart is the truth. So if the Son does make you free, you shall be free indeed, free from the wages of sin, free from death that is the sure payday for sin, and the alternative to having eternal life. So Jesus is telling the people, telling us, that sin enslaves all of us. It controls us, tries to. It controls us, it dominates us, it dictates our next actions oftentimes. You ever notice how some people, if they try to get out of trouble, sometimes they'll tell a little lie, they even call it a white lie. Then if somebody keeps pressing them on it, well, now that they've told the lie, what do they have to do? They have to tell another and a bigger one, and usually it just has to keep going. And then if somebody else overhears you, now you got to tell it even more and to more people. It grows. It grows. Every time we sin and we don't repent of it, it grows. And its power overtakes us. That's what happens when people become addicted. Nobody ever wakes up in the morning, at least I don't think so, and says, you know what, today I'm going to be addicted to meth. Who does that? Nobody. I tell you how it starts. One friend to another friend, quote, friends, right? Hey, try this. It's good for you. It's healthy even. Doctors recommend it. It'll help you if you had cancer, blah, 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 all that stuff. Guess what? You take drugs, you take your first sip of alcohol, maybe it suddenly makes you feel different. And that different feeling can make it feel good for a while. I'm almost certain when folks take their first, I don't know what it's like, so I couldn't give you from experience, but if they take their first meth or their first heroin or their first whatever, Coke, not Coca-Cola, cocaine, okay? if they take that and suddenly they feel so good inside, that's how the devil grabs you. That's how the devil grabs you. It feels good at first. And now, weeks, days, years later, you're out of control. You're in bondage. Folks, that's what we've been talking about this whole time. You're in bondage to sin because you commit it. You continue to commit it. And you're suddenly now, it's a daily thing. And people actually go through lengths of committing robbery just so that they can get their next fix. Jesus can break that cycle and he can relieve you and set you free. But you gotta want it. You gotta want it. If you don't want it, it's not gonna happen. Because sin is gonna lead to death. So verse 37, and we're getting ready to close here. So Jesus acknowledges their argument. Remember what the whole conversation was about, freedom. Okay? Believe on Jesus, follow him, you'll know the truth, he'll set you free. And they lie to themselves by saying, no, we've never been in bondage. And Jesus basically says, yes, you have, sin. Everybody is in bondage to sin. Without Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I deliver the bad news, but you're in bondage. So now in verse 37, Jesus now acknowledges their argument. He's going to address it. He said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. In other words, he's saying, I know you descended from Abraham. I know that. But then he says, but ye seek to kill me, because my word, which is truth, let's not forget that premise, his word is truth. If you continue in my word, that's what he said, you shall know the truth. And he says, because my word has no place in you. Their hearts weren't opened. They weren't willing to judge Jesus as to who he was based on all that he said and all that he did. They were so hard-hearted and blinded to the fact and enslaved to sin that they just couldn't see past it. Remember, Pilate couldn't see past it. What is truth? Jesus, what is truth? They're doing the same thing. His word has no place in them, and therefore they won't know the truth. But we know the truth. And the verse 38, last scripture. So now he's talking about a spiritual thing going on here. So he's already brought up the subject of sin, and now he's saying, well, look, my words have no place in you, and therefore they don't have the truth. So he ends this conversation, well, not the conversation, but this portion of the conversation. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. All of us have a Father. All of us. We belong to somebody. We belong to this Father or that Father. And the fact is, you didn't necessarily choose. But here's the thing. I started out with this conversation that freedom isn't free. Just like our military have fought for our freedom, it costs a lot. It costs a lot of lives. And to maintain the freedom that we have in this country still costs lives and time and effort that a lot of us aren't willing to give. But the fact is, to set you free from sin, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for your sin. Just to give you a home in heaven and a place with him, so that you could abide forever with him. Praise God. Father, thank you, Lord, for the price that was paid for my freedom. Thank you for the price that was ultimately paid for all of us. And Lord, I just pray that our ears will be open, to hear your word, to believe on you and put our faith, our trust in who you are, that we will continue to be your disciple, continue in your word, and Lord, that we shall know the truth. And so, God, I pray that as this service is concluding, that people will understand, Lord, that we need to be set free on this week of Independence Day. Let today be our independence from sin. And God, may Jesus be glorified in all of this. Amen.